Yes, indeed, God does have a dream for you and a dream for me. The CD was performed by a Canadian duo, Off the Hook. Kevin and Cheryl did me the honor of making this recording of a song I wrote a few years ago. If you would like the copy of God Has a Dream for Me, just go to the website www.innergarden.com. Welcome to Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard, and I'd like to say that this is the day that God has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are in it. Practicing Christianity and spiritualism allows us to embrace and serve an interdenominational congregation. Our mission is to help each and every one of you honor God in your own way by being everything that you can be. We want everyone to know that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. The name of the one God may differ, but a rose by any other name is still a rose, so God by any name is still the same God, a God of love, a source of life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness with all of creation.
Well, hello there. This is Barbara Leonard, Reverend Barbara Leonard with Inner Garden Online Chapel, and we are coming to you today for the first time. Would you like to please join me in an opening prayer, and then I'll introduce my guest. Heavenly Father, Creator God, by whatever name that you are known to each of us, we ask a blessing to everyone listening today, and also ask that your love and your healing spread to every one of the creatures throughout the universe. Please allow us to find the peace within ourselves that we may then be an example to everyone that we touch each day. May we be a beacon of your love and draw those that are in need ever closer to you. We ask that you heal those who need healing, comfort those who need comforting, so that they may know that they are not alone. Please shelter those that are in need of shelter, and feed those that are hungry in body, mind, and spirit. Most of all, help us to be tolerant and generous with those who have a different pathway than we do, for we know that all spiritual pathways lead us to the same God when it is our intention to be the best that we can be. For in this way we honor you and the gift of life that you have given us. Amen. Well, I have an exciting show for you today, an interview with a lady that I've known for a few years by the name of Dale Haggerty. And Dale has retired early and is living up in Ravenby, British Columbia, which is up in the cold north. And she has been called to go there with her husband, who is actually the curator of the Mady Museum. And both the Dales, because his name is Dale as well, are interested in helping the youth of the Mady Society, and they work very hard teaching the young people in Canada to be proud of their ancestry, both Native and non-Native heritage. By helping the young people, they understand the history of the Mady people. The young youth of Canada today are healing and educating themselves to be tolerant of all people, their culture, and their beliefs, and are returning to the great, proud people their ancestors were. And I hope that both Dales will come on another time with me and talk about this passion. But today, Dale, I'd like to say hi to you.
Hi, Barb. How are you doing? Oh, good.
Well, we're going to talk today a little bit about life's challenges, some personal challenges that each of us sometimes have to go through. And so we're going to roll the clock back a little bit here, Dale. We're going to back to when you were a young girl full of hope and dreams, just like the song says, God had a dream for you. And your dream at that time was to get married and have children and figured it was a happy ever after thing. True?
That's true.
Yeah. And you did get married?
I did.
And you had your children?
I had two sons.
And you were quite happy for a while with those two boys and with being married. But like sometimes happens, we did hit a portion of our life sometimes that is going in a different path than we thought it was going to go. And the dream kind of faded and died, and then you had to kind of leave that life. And so do you want to talk a little bit about how difficult it may have been in the beginning for you to get out of the marriage and go out and try to be a single mom?
Well, first I should tell you that, you know, like a lot of people in my time, which was the 60s, the thing to do was to get out of high school, graduate if you could, and find a husband and start a family, and that's, you know, pretty well what most of us did. A little bit earlier maybe than they should have. And, you know, there's not enough thought, I think, going into that kind of commitment. And so, you know, the time started, the family was started, and like you say, things were okay. But because of the youth and the inexperience and being, you know, rushing into things for whatever reasons, well-intentioned, but, you know, whatever reasons, things didn't work out, and I ended up, like you say, being a single mom with the two boys. And at this time, these boys were entering into the teenage stage of their life. And at the same time, I, again, quickly got involved, much too quickly, with somebody else. And you know, at the time, thinking he was nice to me, nicer than the first relationship, and again, you know, made some choices maybe that were not good for me or my boys. So after quite a number of years thinking this is really not going anywhere, I made another decision to move away from that relationship. And by this time, my oldest son was on his own, but the younger one was finishing his high school and wanted to start college. And so we got a place on our own. And, like you say, the challenges of working and making a living and looking after a son that was trying to get educated for what he wanted to do in his life, and just continued to lead me in various directions.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the people out there can relate with that. I mean, their story might not be exactly the same, but, you have children, you have responsibility, and you feel a little bit guilty sometimes when you can't give them everything that you feel that they should be getting. But you went out there and you just trusted in God and the spirituality of the Creator, as you call it. And a lot of people call by a different name, but you trusted in that and went out and did wonderful things, because both your boys have turned out well. And you now have gone for a number of years at this time in the story, a number of years without having a person in your own life, though, because you have to make choices that were best for your children.
Actually, at that time, too, I thought when I left the second marriage, I thought at that time, really, I wasn't interested in meeting anybody at that time. I wanted actually to get to know myself, like I didn't have a chance because I've never really been alone. And I thought, well, this is a good time for me to evolve within myself and see what I wanted out of life instead of rushing into a relationship and maybe a little bit fearful of being on my own and wanting a partner, to make maybe life a little bit easier. But decided that, maybe I should just do it for myself and talk to the Creator and just see what the Creator had in mind for me in my life, rather than me trying to choose and make decisions that, maybe weren't the best.
Well, this sometimes is exactly what does happen, though, is that sometimes the loneliness or, wanting so badly to have the dream come back the way you've seen it in the first place creates a situation where we don't look at what we're doing with ourselves. We don't really get inside ourselves and say, I need to find out who I am and develop whatever it is I'm looking through my spiritual world or through my physical, my mental world. I need to find who I am and then be able to take that and share it with somebody else.
Actually, it's funny because I was looking more towards my spiritual life after my mom passed away. That was a few years before.
I'm losing you, Dale. Can you speak up a bit? Huh?
Yeah, I was looking towards my spiritual life more when my mom passed away, and
yeah,
of course my second marriage ended. And there were a few things. There have been things that happened to me all my life that you would call it coincidence, or, you wonder, how come I knew that? You know what I mean? Different things. I mean, I knew before my mom even passed away about a year and a half that she was going to die, even though she wouldn't allow me to have that information from my stepfather. But, having said that, I was on a spiritual quest, and it just seems that the Creator guided me through angels and through various learning experiences.
Exactly.
At that time.
I think this is the big thing, that the spiritual quest is part of the divine order that everything falls into. Sometimes people will call it coincidence, or they'll say, it just happened by accident or whatever. But I don't really believe that. I think everything, even things that are negative in our life, sometimes have been put there on that pathway. Maybe they aren't so supposed to be in our life for a long period of time, but just brought in to teach us something, bring something in, and we learn from that. And it gives us the tool to carve a magnificent future. And I think in your case, the fact that you opened your hand and opened your mind and opened your heart to new possibilities that might be there. Now, if you could have written the script, Dale, you know yourself, you would have written Happy Ever After, right?
Absolutely.
But if you look back on your life now, when we're looking in hindsight, you can really see how each of those things that changed your life changed you to some degree and gave you a broader knowledge and more compassion maybe for other people, more understanding. So if we didn't have any of these challenges, we might go around being very arrogant when we see other people stepping in mud holes and say, oh, well, I don't understand why they get themselves into these messes.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we have these little challenges or these little trials ourselves, it makes us more compassionate towards other people as well and understand that, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was, and going into relationships too, I came from a background of a family, you know, that most of them were in and out of relationships, so I didn't really have a stability either, or even the working knowledge of what a regular family life and, you know, relationship was between a man and a woman. So, but at this time, you know, here we are after my second marriage, and so I'm on my own and learning new things and being guided along, and I met a man from work and decided, oh, maybe this is another one that, you know, because it had been quite a few years, I would say probably about 4 years, and decided, you know, I like this person. And the funny thing is I guess I was starting to get to the point where, okay, well, maybe a relationship is there for me. And so I would, and I guess this sort of helped me down my own pathway. I would phone different psychics and talk to psychics and say, okay, what's for my future? And they would say, oh,
you're going to meet a dark-haired man.
And I thought, no, this fellow I've met is blonde. That didn't quite work into my plan. So I thought, okay, well, they don't know what they're talking about, so I try another psychic, and
you're going to meet a dark-haired man.
And this promise of a dark-haired man kept looming there, and someone they said was going to be the love of my life, and I'd never have ever found a love like that in my life, and I was going to be very happy, and you know, yada yada yada, the whole bit, but I still, you know, was very doubtful about it because of this other fellow in my life. So it was interesting. And so, of course, it led me into that world, spiritual world, which I'm a part of now and very happy with the path that I'm on.
You know, what's really, really interesting is that you and I were talking about that the other day in particular. And I had also shared with you that as a young person of 17 years old, I was very much in love, I thought, with this young man that, oh, was the love of my life, I thought. And the lady that I eventually had as a mentor used to be an extremely good sensitive and could put her hand even over a cup and just feel the energies and be able to project this spiritual self through and be able to say what she felt was coming in your future, at least laying on your pathway. So she said to me, oh, this and that about this man, and it was pretty accurate. But then all of a sudden she said to me, you know, you're not going to marry him. Well, I didn't want to hear that. You know, probably any more than you wanted to hear that the dark-haired man was going to come in, because at the moment the light-haired guy was the one of the moment, right? But all of a sudden, a number of years down the line, like you, I ended up with a dark-haired man, and I've been with him for 53 years now. So God didn't really have it in the plan for me to be with the light-haired man or for you to be with the light-haired man, but they had a purpose in your life.
That's right. And as
makes you open up and find out what love's about and maybe give you something to look forward to. They bring you something, they teach you something. So every person that's in your life, whether it be significant relationships or not, they bring something. And so we shouldn't really curse the garden that we grow in.
No, and you know, as a matter of fact, I call that light-haired man my transition person.
Exactly.
He taught me that, yes, okay, I was ready for another relationship, even though it wasn't meant to be with him. And as you know, I did meet the dark-haired man. And that
well,
was,
no, that was really interesting because I met you before you met your husband that you have. And he is just a darling. I didn't know him either. And you and I talked many times about the different things in life. And, you know, we kind of refer to things as gardens or things that happen in nature. And kind of the old life in the beginning was kind of like the caterpillar that is eating the cabbage and getting to get the nourishment that it needs to make a transition. And then you had kind of got a desire to be better than what the caterpillar life was bringing you. But yet you weren't the butterfly yet. So there was that in-between time when you didn't quite really know who you were yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this person comes in to kind of encourage you to keep going so that you don't fall back into that caterpillar garden and just stay there, you know. So this is probably very true that a lot of people that come in our lives, maybe like flowers that only come once, they bloom and they bring us beauty and they bring us all the wonderful things that come with that plant. And then they go out of the garden and we have to replace it. And so you and I were talking one time, and remember this, and you were very entrenched in your job, very happy with your career. You were happy with your spiritual life. You had a lot of friends. You didn't really have any reason to feel that things weren't good for you, but you just kind of off the top of your head said, you know, I wonder if I'll be alone the rest of my life and I will not really find someone who I can really have that sharing with. Now, by this time, you fulfilled yourself and you were completely a person of your own that you could show to somebody and you could get somebody in your life to enhance it rather than be filling up the holes. And I can remember saying to you, well, I think there will be somebody there. And you said, well, you know, I have lots of gentlemen friends that I could kind of be satisfied with. And, you know, but that would just be what it is. I'd just be satisfied with them for a companion. Wouldn't really have that energy or that thing that I'm really feeling that God has for me. So we were talking about the kids and the marshmallow experiment where they put the marshmallow on the plate. And they say to the kids in kindergarten, now, teacher's going to go out of the room, and if you leave that marshmallow there and you don't eat it, you'll get a second marshmallow. So they did this test with a number of kids, and while they were out of the room, some of the kids left the marshmallow there, but some of the kids would pop it in their mouth before the teacher practically left the room, or they would nibble on the bottom of it, thinking that the teacher wouldn't notice it and put it back on the plate or pop it in their mouth and spit it back on the plate. But what they found after 12 years of following these kids, that the ones that would actually wait for the second marshmallow would be more satisfied in life, and they were more willing to wait on a long-term benefit rather than instant gratification. So I can remember chatting to you about that, and you said, well, that's pretty good. And we didn't think too much more of it. And then I get a phone call one day. And you say, you'll never guess what happened. And I said, what's that? You said, I met the whole bag of marshmallows. And I can remember we just laughed so hard when you first met your Dale. And with you and Dale, now getting into that, I mean, this hasn't been without challenges either, because now you are getting close to retirement, mind you, early retirement, so we don't want to make you older than you are, right? Early retiree, and both of you had this real passion that God put in your heart, and when you were brought together, it was so perfect that you both had a passion to basically get out there and work with the Métis people, and particularly the Métis children.
Mm-hmm.
And with the healing,
yeah,
which went very well with your spirit stuff, because your goal really is to be able to work as a channel for to help people heal those hurts and things that are going on in their body. And so when we talked about that, about how perfect it is in that union, but the challenge of having to pick up everything that you had down on the lower mainland and move to a small town, to most of us, we go, oh my goodness, you know, when I'm getting retired and there's miles away from really big centers, if you have to go into a medical center, you have to go for a few hour drive. And a lot of people wouldn't have taken that challenge. So what made you and Dale decide that that was going to be okay for you?
I guess it's because we trusted that we were being guided. Now, things are unfolding up here, but not to the point where we actually know what it is, what our real purpose is here, but we can see the potentials. And I think it was one day Dale was a little bit despondent because things were happening with the museum that was challenging for him. And I called him from work, and I said, there was a four-day-long weekend, and I said, do you know what? I said, I have a really good idea. Why don't we go on a trip and see if we can find a place that we could live in the near future? And because we had already decided that we would find a smaller area out of the hustle and bustle and, you know, of the big city. And so I looked around the internet and saw various places we might want to live, and we ended up here.
So a lot of trust in what information was coming to you, the dream that God was giving the two of you. You had to have a lot of trust in being able to step outside of the area that you have known, like that security blanket of being down here and around all your friends and your church and all the rest of it. That's quite a thing to let go of that security blanket and just move up there.
That's true. Well, the amazing thing is you know, it was an unfortunate but fortunate situation where we had a robbery in our apartment building, and a lot of my husband's collectibles were taken. Anyways, out of the resulting insurance claim, what we received from the claim, we were able to buy a property in the area that we decided, yes, okay, this is a nice area. It was, you know, even though it was an unfortunate thing that the robbery happened, we would not have been able to do what we did if we hadn't had that money there, and saying to each other, let's invest this money wisely. And so this is what we did, and we bought a home without a mortgage.
Yeah, so there's a case where when your husband had these collectibles that he'd been collecting since he was very young, and they were very valuable to him, they couldn't be replaced anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than, you know, pound on his chest and say how terrible life is, you kind of looked for what the opportunity that you could do with that. And that's what we're trying to do, really, with the Inner Garden Online Chapel, is get people to start realizing that we all have challenges and that we all have difficulties come into our life. And how we receive those and how we deal with them is what the result's going
to
be.
Now, what was I saying to you when we talked the other day? Turn your challenges into adventures?
Yeah, exactly.
And this is how we like to look at it now, and it makes life a lot easier if we can realize that that's what we are going through, adventures in our lives. And sometimes, you know, they're a little bit harsh, you know, at times, but we can turn them into better things if we have
the
faith.
Well, this is the thing. I think, you know, with Ozzy and I, which you well know, that we've been down a long road, 53 years of marriage in April. And up and down and across the country and back again, we were almost like gypsies. And each of those things that have happened in our life have brought us some goodness. So even going back in your past, I mean, our past and your past aren't exactly the same as the people that are listening to us out there. They have a unique past that is going to have the pains and the difficulties and all the joys and the happiness different to what ours is, but it all comes down to the attitude. That attitude influences everything. And so if we take a good attitude, it influences our life. We say, okay, fine, maybe we have to get right back down to the bare ground on the farm. I might even have to borrow some corn, so to speak, to put in the ground. So using that symbolically, we may have to get right back to square one. We may have to talk to our friends to get the encouragement to help us up. And even sometimes, you know, I've found that we've had really good friends that worked like earth angels that walked in at the right time to help us, right? So each and every one of us, if we'll open our hand and we'll open our mind and we'll open our hand up to what God might be bringing into our life, instead of sitting there looking at the big apple on the top of the tree and saying, no, I won't take anything but that big apple. Okay, if I can't have that big apple, I'm sorry, God, I don't want anything. Now, they've got every type of fruit tree wrapped all the way around them symbolically. They could grab any fruit, any apple from any of the other trees, but no, they want this big apple. I won't be satisfied unless I get what I want. And then when they get it sometimes, it's got a hole in it because the worm is in the other side. And so, you know, I find that when I'm teaching, a lot of times I teach very symbolically, and it's very down to earth, and people can understand that. And so we can kind of get a little giggle out of that. But the real truth is that don't we all do that sometimes? We don't stop and say, what we need is provided all around us, and it may be we need to take this for the moment. We need to do this particular thing for the moment, and then go on the stepping stones until I get to where I want to be, and do what I need to do that will not harm myself or somebody else in the process. Because if we do anything that is illegal, immoral, etc., we only bring that back onto ourselves. So we have to make sure we're not harming anybody else or harming ourselves by, you know, stepping out. But do what we need to do to get to where we need to be. And then the want will follow itself. And I think this is something that you and Dale have done. I'm going to give out some phone numbers. We're really fortunate here because we can take some phone calls from people that are out there. And maybe you and I can talk to them as well.
Okay.
And if they're in the USA, they can call toll-free to 1-877-876-5227. In Canada, the toll-free number is 1-888-810-8322. And there is a direct line, international direct line, that's 1-530-876-3222. And you can find that on the radio first page, like right on bbsradio.com. Go on there, and the first page has those phone numbers. If you'd like to phone in and either talk to Dale or talk to me, and ask us a couple of questions, but we'll continue to talk along, and then Dawn, our boss there, gets anybody coming through, he'll give us a little buzz, and then we can see what they want. But, you know, going back to the fact that relationships, still, it's really important that we are sensitive to other people in relationships, too. Don't you find that now, in this relationship, you and Dale are more apt to communicate with each other than what you would have done when you were younger?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. And much more patience. Somehow.
And more patient.
Yeah.
Exactly. And no, I know one of the things that I think we're guilty of when we're younger is to think that the degree a person loves you is the degree they can be able to read your mind. And so if you have to be an extremely sensitive person and you kind of sense what the other person needs, and you kind of know that before they even tell you. If they can't do that back for you, you think, oh, they don't love me as much as I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the measure of how somebody loves you has no degree on how psychic they may be or how able they are to read your mind. You sometimes have to be open and communicate.
Oh, that's very important. Communication
and
is very important.
Don't you find when you were younger, too, sometimes you were a good actress? You could kind of put a face on that everything was okay.
Yeah, that's true.
And so then you expected, like at Christmas time, I can remember this particularly, at Christmas time, what would you like for Christmas? Oh, no, I don't need anything for Christmas. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. And then when Christmas came and there really wasn't anything there, such a disappointment, because you basically said, look, don't go spending your money on something big for me. You know, I just need something small. So you get a toaster or you get a cuckoo clock. And you think, why couldn't they have thought to buy me a negligee or some perfume or whatever? And it's because we don't communicate to each other. We are constantly putting on a false face, not letting them really see what's in there. Because I think when we were young, I think you probably had this happen too, better to give than receive. It's better to give than receive. I think, you know, if anybody really reads that, I think in natural law, it should really read, it's as good to give as receive. Because in natural law, you put corn in the ground and you get, out of one kernel of corn, approximately 1,800 kernels back off the three gobs that will come off that one kernel of corn. So we need to be graceful receivers, and I think whether it's your husband or my husband or it's you and I as friends or it's people in your working environment, you have to give them an expectation in a relationship that there is an expectation that if I do all these things and you and I are good friends, and I don't mean conditional, if we're really good friends, that I am going to allow you to give me a token and I'm going to say thank you, that's wonderful, and you're going to allow me to give you token back of appreciation, and you're going to say that's wonderful, that's lovely, Barbara, I'm glad that you got that for me, how thoughtful. And it gives the other person a gift in as much as that they're really happy that their feeling that they want to give you something has not been interrupted with, oh, you didn't need to do that, which kind of takes a little bit of the air. But
yeah.
I think we probably have somebody on the line.
Good.
Hi there.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing good. Would you like to ask us a question this morning or give us a comment?
Yeah, well, both, actually. This is Derek. Dale, how are you doing?
Tansay, Derek.
I want to say hello to both of you, and I'd like to say it's actually great for both of you actually doing the very first online chapel on the Internet. It's one of the best things going. I'm very supportive of that. And I'm actually going to ask a question for Dale. I'm going to find out what plans do you think you have that's going to be happening in the area that you live in?
Well, like I said earlier, Derek, there are a lot of things we'd like to see happen here, and doors are opening and things are unfolding. But as the Creator and Spirit work sometimes, they work in their own time frame. So we just have to be patient and be ready for whatever is coming. But basically, I think Dale and I both would like to be able to be here to help heal the people in this area, in the Aboriginal community, the Métis community, and as well as I would like to open up more my healing work as well, my personal healing work.
Do you have a website?
We have a website as far as the Métis Museum, but we don't have a website yet for ourselves.
Okay.
And
well, mind you, Derek, they can always come through our website and or into the email. And Dale, you do have an email address, correct?
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, if you can announce that to the public, it would be great, and then they can look you up.
Well, what do you think would be the best, the email or the Métis Museum website, perhaps?
Either or, even both, would be great.
Well, we could do the website, perhaps. Would be good because the email would be on that, which I check fairly frequently. It's www.michifmetimuseum.org.
How do you spell that word?
Okay, it's all lowercase. Michif is M-I-C-H-I-F as in Fred. Métis, M-E-T-I-S as in Sam. Museum. org, O-R-G.
Sounds good.
So if people want to check in there, that'd be great, and they can reach us with the museum from the museum website. There'll be an email there, and as we go further along, there'll be more information for people to access.
That's great. And, of course, if they wanted to get a hold and they don't know that one, they can look to our website or go chapel@innergarden.com, and I'll forward anything through to you, Dale, that we get.
That'd be great. Sure.
Yeah.
Good.
So if they don't remember all that, they can remember innergarden.com, and it's just chapel@innergarden.com, and we'll send it. We also have the possibility for people to join online chapel. That's a free membership. Or if they want prayers, and you're one of the people that we do have on our pray list, so if we have people contact us that they need healing prayers, we will forward information to you too, and you will add it to your prayer list. And they just have to email us at innergarden.com, barb@innergarden.com, or chapel@innergarden.com, and put prayer in the subject. And just give us the person's first name. We don't need anything more than that. God knows the rest of it. Just this contact with you, the energy, and with the person that you're thinking about, and we can send some healing. And Dale will send healing, and all the other people that we're connected with in our prayer chain, we'll all send healing out for that person. And I'll tell you, God has a way of making miracles happen.
That's
Thanks,
a wonderful
Derek.
Song that you guys
Any other questions?
This morning. Oh, it makes the hairs on my arm stand up.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you.
It made the hair in my arm stand up.
Oh, good. Well,
very
I hope we're doing
song.
That to a few other people out there, too.
I'll take that as a good sign, Derek.
That's a good sign. All that energy is coming in.
Oh, yeah.
So you have a good day, Derek, and thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Angels go with you. Well, that was great, wasn't it, Dale?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was nice of Derek to call us.
Yes, it was. We know Derek, and Derek is another one that will have you on the prayer list. We have a whole group of people that are channeling prayer from God and from whatever name they call God through themselves and to pass through to other people. And I'll tell you, I can guarantee it works. As many times I've had health challenges, and it has healed my body. And so I just go on there. We're going back a little bit to the work that you guys are doing out there, but let's another person on the line. Hello there.
Oh, hello, Barbara. It's Lois. I want to congratulate
oh,
you on your
Oh, my goodness,
free
Lois,
show.
From Astral Connections, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
that's some of our congregation.
Hi, Dale. Hi, Lois.
Yeah, keep up the good work out there. Yeah, we've got a few people here listening to you and love this song, of course, and the whole thing. So you're, you know, doing your normal great work. But I have a question. Okay, how and when do you decide if an adventure or a challenge should change directions?
Was that for Dale?
Anybody.
No, that's for Barb.
Okay.
For both of you.
I couldn't quite hear you, Lois. Do you want to?
Okay, you know, if you're on an adventure or a challenge, I guess let's put it as a challenge, and you're calling it an adventure, when do you know when this should change directions? What kind of signs do you say? When do you say jump off the train and get on a new one?
Well, there's a lot of really good energy around your whole group down there right now. You must be really excited for us and helping us with our first time here. But one of the things that I think with the song that we had in the beginning, you're complimenting about that. That song actually was recorded by a group, duo from Canada here that's called Off the Hook. And Cheryl and her husband, Kevin, did me the honor of recording that song. And in that song, when I had that come through me from God, it basically, if you follow line by line on there, pretty much tell you what you need to do if you want to be successful at anything that you're trying to accomplish. As long as you know that it's God's dream and you let that energy come forward. and come through you and open up your hand is really interesting, because a lot of times people will try to give other people something and they'll close their fist, they'll close themselves off, and they won't take help, or they won't take even the word from God. They won't listen to what's going on. It's most important to listen. And if they listen to themselves, it shouldn't be somebody else that tells them what to do. They should listen inside themselves. And then if they're going to someone to get advice, don't tell them what it's about, but just allow them to reinforce that through the energy that's coming through them, through the spiritual intuition. So was there someone there particularly wanted a particular question?
No, I think they're just kind of the same one.
Yeah, I'm kind of having a hard time hearing you.
No, I think you're right. I think the song kind of covers the answer.
Okay.
And I think, too, just, you know, from my part, I would say that a challenge becomes an adventure when you acknowledge it as an adventure. It's as fast as your mind can work and your acceptance.
Okay.
Well, that's really true, because I know that with Dale and even in my own life, sometimes the things that were the hardest things to deal with at the moment are the ones that have given me the greatest tool to carve a new future. So if you kind of, as Dr. Schuler says, if you want to quote him, turn your scars into stars.
Yeah.
And make the challenge an adventure.
Yeah.
Really enjoy the journey, because the end result is, when you get there, it's going to work out fine anyway.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Barb.
Thanks,
thank you, Dale, and congratulations.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling, Lois.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, we got some listeners out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Lois has astral connections in Delta, B.C., and I was talking to her yesterday, and she said, well, we're going to key up and listen to you. And they've got a group of people coming in. We're going to have a little church service right in the center of the store here. And so I guess they actually did. So hi to all of them there. So anyway, Dale, going back to some of the things that you and your husband are doing, talk a little bit about when you go on the trips and you go to the rallies and the groups.
Well, the different rendezvous.
Yeah.
The Métis rendezvous. We, you know, really have a lot of fun. And if people don't know what Métis or the Métis Aboriginal rendezvous are, they're like reenactments of for instance, the American people would call the pioneers coming, let's say, 400 to 200 years ago into Canada from the European countries, and then, of course, marrying the native ladies and producing the Métis peoples. And so we reenact, we put up the teepees and all the ways that they lived 200 to 400 years ago, and they usually last about 4 days, and we have nice fiddle music and drumming and all kinds of events for the children. Alcoholic or drug, free from that, and it's totally for the family, and everybody, you know, they cook their types of dishes that they used to eat, you know, traditional dishes, and we have vendors there selling, you know, interesting Aboriginal artistic type products, and,
yeah.
and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And we get to meet a lot of people. We, you know, it's a healing within, because the Aboriginal peoples have had a lot of heartbreaks through the years. And
well, this is the thing, and they're trying so hard now to bring a balance back into their existence, because for the longest time they weren't allowed to do their dances and have their powwows and things like that without being criticized and. In fact, banned in lots of cases.
That's right. And even though the Métis people, they will participate in the powwows if they're invited, don't necessarily have powwows as their tradition, but even Métis people have had their problems of not being looked upon as what would you say, citizens as other people have in this country, and some of them have been given a bad name and are trying to overcome this and trying to teach the children that it's important that they know who they are, what their roots are, and that they are a proud nation within themselves. And they've given a lot to this country in helping make Canada what Canada is today.
Exactly. You know what? I think we need to really be thankful for what's gone on in this last number of years, because I think the general population of the universe even has become more aware of the fact that the one God, it doesn't matter what pathway, and they've now started to look at the native people on all parts of the world having very much understanding of spiritual inside themselves. In the beginning, it didn't just have to be, you know, the missionaries coming here teaching them. The native people here and the Métis people here, all these dances and all the things they do are all based spiritually. They're drumming, everything is spiritually based.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're really learning a lot from that, because they live so close to nature. And the natural laws, if we take a look at the natural laws and just look at how nature behaves, we would learn that on the physical, mental, and spiritual level, nothing changes. And so if you put corn in the ground here, you're going to get corn, and all the praying over it isn't going to get broccoli. So your action, your choice, what you do is going to result in what you plant,
mm-hmm.
or what you put out there. And you're going to bring that back to yourself, just like when you put the corn seed in, you're going to bring thousands of corn seeds back to yourself. You're going to get the same thing back, whatever you put out. So you put positive things out in your life, that's going to come back in a positive way. If you go around with a negative attitude, then that's exactly what you draw onto yourself. On the power of intention, when we put out the intention of good things to other people and help other people, that comes back to you. Maybe not from the same people, but it comes back to you in the universe, the natural law.
That's true. And,
you and I can actually say amen to that, right?
That's right.
Because there's been times
And in my case, I would say a whole, which is a way of saying, and so it is.
Yeah, and, we take a look at what is going on today in the world, and looking at the fact that the tolerance, we need to have a lot more tolerance for other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there is only one God. It doesn't matter what pathway that we're going there, or what we call at the top, a rose by any other name is still a rose. And so the one God is there, and as long as we are all going to the highest and best of ourselves, we're going to be able to honor that one God, and we're going to be able to honor each other and be able to have tolerance of each other's belief system and be able to live better with each other.
And, you know, as you
say, instead of standing and fighting and saying, oh, it has to be my way, or somebody else says, no, it's got to be my way, this says so in the book, or somebody else says, no, it says so in whatever way that they've been taught, it has to be that way. You know, it kind of puts me in mind of a story I once heard, Dale. You know, the grandmother and granddaughter, or I should say the mother and the daughter, had a conversation, because when it came time for to make a roast one Sunday, this young girl takes the roast, cuts an end off it, puts it in the roaster and sticks it in the oven. And she's been married for a few months, and her husband sees this going on and says, well, what is this with cutting the end of the roast off? Well, I don't know. My mom did. So she says, that's what my mom did, and her roasts are always good. The husband says, well, why did your mom do that? Oh, I don't know. She asked her mom. Mom says, well, I do it because my mom did it. So the grandmother is still alive, so the young girl phones up the grandmother and says, Grandma, why do we cut the end of the roast off and tuck it in the side before we cook it? Why did you do that? And she says, because I didn't have a roaster pan big enough for the roast. So a lot of times we don't really reason out why we do things. We just follow the, you know, whatever concept that has been given to us by someone else. And maybe that concept has been a negative concept to other people or to other people's belief system or whatever. And we continue it on without stopping and say, why are we continuing to do that? Or why are we continuing to put ourselves in an emotional pencil sharpener over and over and over again because that's all I know?
That's true.
Why do I repeat the patterns that it says in the Bible onto the third and fourth generation that he who hates me, but it really doesn't mean that. It means that we follow a pattern of our family and what goes on. So now that we're breaking some of this with the communications that we have in the world, we're breaking some of this kind of lack of communication and lack of knowledge, and we're getting to know more about the world religions, we're getting to know more about world cultures. And just in Canada alone, we have such a diversified population, and we start learning about each of the people and honoring what they do. We don't have to necessarily, you know, throw our baby out with the bathwater. We can still keep our belief system, but still believe there is one God to go to and go together to that God to heal the earth, don't you think?
I agree.
Yeah. And I think this is something that, you know, the natives in this country here in Canada had, in the United States too, because it's the same native families that are in both countries. They had that understanding of, you know, honoring the earth, honoring the water, honoring the sky, honoring the sun, honoring the trees, honoring nature, and living by that nature. And unfortunately, we have got a far way from that as can possibly be, and it's only now that we're understanding that we need to pull back to that and start looking to God to what we have to do to get this universe working together.
Well, that's the whole point, working together. And had the new people coming in from Europe had worked together with the native peoples here on this continent, if they had worked together, I think we wouldn't be having as many problems as we do with our environment and what has been done to the earth. It's something to think about.
Well, that's great. You know, Dale, I'd like to thank you for being on with us today.
You're welcome.
It's been such a pleasure, and, you know, it just seems like you're in the other room here.
Yeah, it's just like you and me chatting over the phone.
Yeah, chatting around the fireplace or whatever.
It's been very enjoyable, Barbara, and thank you also for letting me be the first. I feel, you know, very honored.
Oh, I'm just honored to have you on because I've just watched your progress over the years, and I, you know for a fact that you're continuing to help other people out there. And what we would like to ask the people that are listening in, that you go to your own church, your own temple, or your own synagogue, and join us each week on Inner Garden Online Chapel. Because what we're trying to do here is to get people to have something that they can tune into. A lot of times we have shut-ins, people that, you know, can't get out to church. They're in outlying areas. If they go to our website, www.innergarden.com, there's a lot of information on there about how you can contact us. There may be things there that you want to talk about. We also do private counseling by phone, and you can get a hold of us. I could put you in touch with Dale or any of my guests that will be on. We want you to remember that to get and listen to some of the other programs that are on this network, because BBS Radio is definitely giving us an opportunity to bring this to you, and we'd like to thank them as well for giving us an opportunity to be here the first time. So if you want prayer, as we said, go to chapel@innergarden.com and just put the name of the person, first name of the person, and we'll put them on the prayer list. You want to join the church, cost nothing. Just put on their membership, and we will put you down as a member, and it will give you the benefits that will come from the website for things, of courses, and different things that we want to do. So we thank you, and I'd like you to join me in a closing prayer, and I thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to get together today and to be with people of like mind, that we may help to heal the earth, that we may help through one word that we said today to make the life brighter for one person out there. We know, God, that when you draw people to a certain area, or they, it may seem it's by accident that they tuned in here today, but they have tuned in because there's been something here that we had to give to them. And we thank you, God, for allowing us to have that gift, to give it to them. And we receive back with love all those prayers that people have for us to have this successful show. So tune in next week. This is your online chaplain, Barbara Leonard. And God willing, we'll all see you next week.